Wow, what a time of worship, huh? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Let's just praise the Lord some more. What do you think? Lord, we just give you thanks. Yeah, we just worship you this morning, God. Thank you, Lord. You're the very reason we can take our next breath, Lord. And so we thank you for life. We thank you for the opportunity to live our best life right now and for eternity. So we just thank you, Lord. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Oh, it's just awesome service and so privileged to be bringing the Word of God to you today. Pastor Tim is on a deserved vacation. Yes, much deserved vacation. They have a new baby. Did they decide on a name for that baby? Amelia? Okay. Yeah, they didn't have one at first. Okay. Amelia, yes. So wonderful. And great to see Rich and Jan Garcia. Yeah. Rich and Jan used to go here before they moved. And so anyway, nice to have you guys back. Yeah. Love you guys. All right, we're going to be talking about the richest man in town. Richest man in town, yeah. And how to live a blessed life. And we are in a series of Proverbs, okay? And I love what Pastor Tim has said. He's that better decisions, fewer regrets. I think we find that in this life. It sounds like a proverb in and of itself. That if we make better decisions as we go through life, well, we're going to have fewer problems and fewer regrets. So I love that. I love that. So our proverb for today is Proverbs 11:25. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Okay, I love it. Now, it's important that we understand what proverbs are. Okay, first of all, and biblical proverbs are meant to be general principles in life, okay? So that's the nature of a proverb. It means if this choice is made, then usually or most of the time, this will happen. That's a proverb, a general principle. I'm going to give you a couple of examples just so you kind of understand what I mean. Proverbs 11:13 says, a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. Now, I think we can easily agree on this, right? And a person who gossips usually doesn't keep a secret. They usually can't be trusted. A trustworthy person most often is going to keep the secret, you know, right? Obvious. Well, does a gossip betray a secret every time? I'd say no. Not every time. But as a general principle, this is true. And same with trustworthy people. Do they keep a secret every single time? Some people do. But once in a while, maybe they don't. So it's a general principle, okay? So I'm going to give you one more example. Proverbs 11:27. Whoever seeks good finds favor, but evil comes to one who searches for it. So does a person who seeks good, do they usually find favor? I would say yes, right? I would say, yeah. Usually, yes. They're a blessing to other people, and so it's reciprocated. But not always. You know, sometimes in this life, favor doesn't come our way. You know, there's sin in this world. And sometimes we don't always have favor, even though we seek good. But most of the time, yes. So that's a proverb. It's a general principle. And if we live by these general principles, then we will have success in many ways in this life. We're going to find out about that today. And so back to our proverb 11:25. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. I'd like you to repeat that with me. We're going to say it several times this morning. And so let's start with the reference. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Proverbs 11:25. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Okay. All right, have you ever heard of George Bailey? There was a doctor around here named George Bailey. I went to him once, and then he retired. Crazy. But it's probably not who you're thinking of. So we're going to talk a little bit about George Bailey. It's a Wonderful Life. Most of us have heard of It's a Wonderful Life. It's a Christmas movie. Now, George was a man who gave of himself and his money and his time to help other people by the means of the local savings and loan. Okay, then he would also go out and help people move and all this kind of stuff. He was always doing things for other people. That was George Bailey. Then a local greedy rich guy, his name was Mr. Potter. That's right. Mr. Potter. He was cantankerous. Yes. He tries to bring down George and his savings and loan because he doesn't like him. And he basically steals the money. Follow me here. That George's Uncle Billy. Remember Uncle Billy? Yes. Uncle Billy was going to put in the large bank across the street. It was about $8,000, but today, this is interesting, would be translated into $100,000. Okay? So it was a large sum of money, and they weren't a large savings and loan, so it would cause bankruptcy and cause a great scandal, according to George. Now, if you remember George Bailey, he was a bit extreme. Jimmy Stewart, he's a lot of the times extreme in his movies. Very passionate man. And he makes a wrong choice. He considers suicide because he thinks that's the only way he's going to be able to help his family. He doesn't think he's worth anything. That's George. Well, we know that that was a wrong choice. But he is eventually saved by saving someone else who was drowning. Okay, you remember that? He saved someone else who was drowning, and this drowning person was an angel named Clarence. Thank you. I know many of you know this movie. I've probably seen it 50 times. In the end, through much trial, George realizes that true riches are relationships that he has made with family and friends. And there's much more to be learned in this movie. But when he gets home, all the people that he's been generous to over the years, they come to his aid and they bring what they have and they return the favor to George for all he has done for them. The richest man in town was George. And I love that. Why was George the richest man in town? It's because he had family and friends, and he was a generous man, and he cared about people. And so can we apply this scripture to this story? Let's take a look at it again. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Now, a generous person will prosper. Did George prosper financially? Not really. Not always. He was always giving it away. He was always helping other people. Not always, but the general principle of prospering still stands and still holds true in the end. Did he become refreshed? Absolutely. And if you watch the movie, he goes through terrible trial, tribulation, and all kinds of things. But he is refreshed in the end. Now, is It's a Wonderful Life, is it just a movie? Yeah, it's just a movie. It's just a good feeling movie with a good message. But it's a movie that has captured the imagination of millions of people. Why? It's because life sometimes can be hard. And no matter who you are, you know, there's just times in life when it's hard. But when we sow into other people's lives, you know, when we help other people, when we're generous to other people, that we can give and gain riches that are much more valuable than money. Although money sometimes will play a part in this, but it's a great message. George Bailey's a fictitious character. He was a generous man and in the end was blessed many times over. But is this the way that life really is played out like a movie. Well, let's take a look. We're going to look at the Word of God. I'm going to give a few examples here and just kind of take a look at how the Bible portrays generosity and what happens. And there's a lot of stories of generosity in the Bible. We don't have time this morning to look through all those. We're going to take a look at Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. I'm not going to put it on the screen. I'm going to read it for you. Luke 7, 1 through 10. This is about the faith of the centurion. Okay? So when Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum, and there is a centurion's servant, so the servant of this high-ranking soldier, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. And the centurion heard of Jesus, and he sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, he does it." So when Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and he turned to the crowd following him, and he said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel." Then the men who had been sent returned to the house, and they found the servant well. So Jesus heals the servant. The man has this great faith. It's a wonderful thing. But the centurion, you know, he was not an Israelite. He was not a Jew. Yet he gave generously to the nation of Israel. Okay? And he built their synagogue. So he is a very generous man. He seems to have faith. He had a real faith in Jesus as the healer for his servant. And so that's an awesome thing. And Christ was amazed at his faith. And then the guy's servant was healed. So in this case, this proverb really comes true. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. The Lord blesses him. And he is a generous man. It's a great story. And there's a lot more to that story. And there's a lot of other instances in the Bible, as you know. And I'm going to use a contemporary story where this comes to pass. And this person I'm going to mention, I saw his wife today. I didn't see him. But I don't know if he's going to like this, but here we go. Bob Salcedo. You in here, Bob? He's here. Can you hear me? Is he hiding? Okay. Bob is generous with his time. Bob helps a lot of people out. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen with other people, and I've seen it happen with me. And he helped me. When I first moved here, he helped me pull out all these old arborvita bushes, you know, those ones that just spread. I think we got some of them out here. And they're all over the place in this house I bought. And so Bob came over with his pickup and a chain, and we pulled those babies out of there. It was awesome. And he's helped me haul a bunch of stuff to the dump when I didn't have a truck. He's changed light fixtures for me. I learned how to do it. Now I can do it myself. you know, and I've seen him do this for other people. I've seen him help his neighbors that weren't healthy. Bob's an amazing guy. And he's a generous man, generous with his time. And Bob's a family man, loves his family. And he and his wife, Charlene, they prosper in many ways because they are generous and they refresh many people, okay? They refresh them. And So they are loved by many people, and my wife and I being among them. So, generous people give as a lifestyle. Generous people give as a lifestyle. And Proverbs 11:24 says this, "Give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything." Okay. Give freely means to distribute widely, loosely, freely. So this is a lifestyle. People that have a generous lifestyle, they want to give. That's just kind of their MO. That's what they do. And they've developed this attitude of giving. And, you know, there's wisdom that comes with being a giver. God gives us wisdom. It's not so that you hold it back, but sometimes it's time to give, and sometimes it's, you know, sometimes you just need to have some wisdom. That's very, very true. But there is an attitude of how can I help, okay? And it's a willingness to be generous. And you might ask, well, look, I want to be a generous person, but I'm still too selfish. I know that there's people that feel that way. And really, if you got the Holy Spirit in your heart, guys and gals, that should be a thought of, I don't want to be selfish. I want to be good. I want to help people. But how do I do it? How do I become more generous instead of just thinking about myself too much? Okay. So there's another story about a tax collector named Zacchaeus in Luke 19. We're not going to read through it. I'm just going to quickly tell the story. He had cheated many people as a tax collector. Tax collectors, as many of you know, back then were not well thought of, okay? I'm sure there's good tax collectors today. I'm sure they're out there. I'm sure they're out there. But back then, they were not well thought of, and he had cheated many people, and that's why they were not good to the people. But Zacchaeus, he had a heart change when he encountered Jesus. He really did. And he said he would repay four times the amount to anyone he had cheated, and he would give half of his money to the poor. So it appears that this happens really fast. Like, he has this encounter with Christ, and he has this heart change. So then the first thing he does is he becomes generous. And that's awesome. That's wonderful. And he went from being a heartless tax collector to having a generous heart. So how did this happen? It happened by having an encounter with Christ. So I just want to say to you, come to Christ. Simple as that. Come to Jesus Christ. And if you've never done that, and you're like, well, I don't know. I don't know how to do that. What do you mean, come to Christ? Coming to Christ is basically saying, I don't know you, Jesus, personally. I've heard about you. I want to know you. My life is a bit of a mess, and I need help. I need you, Jesus, because that's where Zacchaeus was. So he came to Christ, and so you just ask Christ to forgive you of your sins and say, I want my life to count for something. I want to be a generous person. I want to be a person that helps other people, and help me, Lord, change my heart, change my heart. And, you know, if you allow God to do these things in your life, you just might become the richest man or woman in town. That might be you. And wouldn't that be great? And for all the right reasons, you know, not to gain wealth, but for all the right reasons. And so, if you're a person that wants to be more generous in how you live, which basically means you're going to make more of a difference in your world, okay? So we're going to do 7 things really fast. I'm going to go through these really quick if you want to write these down. I like these. These are very practical. These are things that you can do. Number one, practice generosity with your time. Okay? So when you give someone your time, you're giving them a portion of your life that you're never going to get back. That's just the way it works. Your time is your life. That is why the greatest gift you can give someone is your time. I like this quote by Rick Warren. Time is a precious gift God has given all of us, but we don't always use it to benefit others. Instead, we use it up with endless to-do lists. I do that. And we get so busy, there's little left to give away. But God graciously, I like this thought, refills our hours every day. So let's be purposeful in how we use our time. I love that. Each day, we get a whole new set of hours. Okay, so if, say you get 8 hours of sleep. What's the math? 16. You have 16 hours, a brand new 16 hours to do something different the next day. So it's a great thing. So you have lots of opportunity. And being generous with our time can be as simple as spending quality time with people. So, for example, let's start with your family. You go on a date with your spouse. Maybe you play with your kids. Maybe you play with your grandkids. Maybe it's meeting friends face-to-face and just having a nice time, encouraging a brother or sister. Maybe it's just sharing with other people, and you're taking your time to do this. Putting down your phone. Imagine that. When talking with other people. Putting down your phone and taking it off the table and putting it in your pocket. That's nice too. Yeah, I need to do that a little more. All right, so number two, let's go to the next one. Be generous with your words. This is a great one. Proverbs 16:24, gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Words are powerful. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, they're powerful because of how much that they affect other people. Even the smallest compliment can tremendously brighten up someone's day. And so let's be generous with our words. And when I say generous, that doesn't mean, I had this conversation with a few people the other night, giving them a hard time. Being generous with your words doesn't mean more words. It doesn't mean using, I'm going to be generous with my words, so I'm going to share with you all of them. No, that's not what that means. I should name a few names, but I'm not going to. You know who you are. No, we need to give more compliments. We need to encourage other people. We need to leave kind comments online. Tell someone they're doing a good job. You know, this is off of my notes, but here we go. I was spending time with my mom yesterday. I had driven up on Friday to Camas, Washington, to see my son perform a wedding ceremony, and he did a fantastic job. And I spent the night with my mom, who's doing great. She's 84, and she doesn't look a whole lot different than she did when I was a kid. She just does so good. And so we were talking, and just began to think of, she was just talking about, you know, when I was younger and different things, And I mentioned the fact that when I was younger growing up that my dad wasn't home a whole lot. And he was off doing other things. And just trying to figure out how I ended up with a bad attitude when I was young. And I was just trying to figure it out as I was talking to my mom. I thought about it many times. And I began, you know, now I know that my dad did love me and that my dad was proud of me. He just didn't tell me, you know, until later in life. He did later in life. But anyway, I just began to share with my mom. I said one moment that I've thought of hundreds of times. I did really well. I was a high jumper. I did really well one day. And I never forget it. I was standing in my kitchen, my mom's kitchen and dad's kitchen, and then my dad came through the door, and my mom just said what height it was that I had done. That's all she said. She grabbed him by the arms and said that. And he was so excited. And I was, I've never forgotten it. I was like, oh, he's proud of me, you know. And he just wouldn't tell me himself. So generosity, generous with our words. If you don't tell your kids you're proud of them, tell them. Tell them. It's never too late. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Okay. All right, let's keep going. Number three, share your gifts, talents, and skills. 1 Peter 4:10. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. God has bestowed upon us different gifts and talents. And please don't argue this point with me. There's every single one of us have gifts and talents. Amen? Yes, and they're all different. And we need each other. Oh, we need each other. That's a nice song. But it's, you know, it's not just for ourselves to have. We're to use them to benefit other people. And you can be generous with your talents and skills by, hey, we use them in the church. Many of you do that. Outside of your job, you know, not just where you work, but outside of there, you know, use your gifts and talents to benefit other people. And if you're good at something, don't only do it for money, okay? And I heard a famous Christian guitar player, Phil Keaggy, say something once. He's just so, so good. Jimi Hendrix once said that the best guitar player he'd ever heard was Phil Keaggy. So many of you have heard of Jimi Hendrix, but many of you probably haven't heard of Phil Keaggy. Wonderful guitar player from the 60s and still plays. He said this, make your talent a gift to others, and it will become a gift to you. And so I've always tried to remember that. I don't always, you know, I don't want to push myself on other people and, hey, listen to me play, you know, or listen to me sing. But, you know, if people want you to, go ahead, do it, you know. By the way, Wanda's daughter, Georgia, she plays the ukulele. I don't know if you guys, how many of you were there? I wasn't there, but I've seen her play online. How many of you heard Georgia play the ukulele and sing Saturday? Yeah. If you liked it, clap. How old is Georgia? She's like 8 or 9 or 9. 9 years old. I mean, this little gal, when I saw her online a couple of times, I mean, she's singing Country Roads Take Me Home, and she's just changing chords, you know, and then she was singing da 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 da, Bare Necessities, yeah, from the Jungle Book. She's just changing all the chords and no big deal and singing away. I'm like, 9 years old, that's amazing. She's sharing her talent with others and encouraging other people. So we need to do that. We need to be generous with sharing our talents and abilities. Number four, be generous with your possessions. Luke 12, 16 through 21. I'm just going to read through this. He, being Jesus, told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'm going to do. I will tear down my barns, build bigger ones. There I will store my surplus grain, and I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, be merry. Yeah, it's all for me. It's all for me. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who's going to get what you have prepared for yourself? Didn't you know? I'm going to stop that. The next part I was going to say, I'll just be quite honest with you. The next part I was going to say, I thought was part of the scripture, and it's not. So I'll just back up. I'm glad I realized that real quick. Okay. Storage industry. Does anybody in here own a storage place? I don't know. I don't know anybody. No. Anyway, yeah, you rent one. Sure, a lot of people do. Did you know that the industry itself, self-storage industry, is worth $38 billion? It's a big deal. One in every 11 Americans use storage units, okay? And there are more self-storage facilities in the U.S. than McDonald's and Starbucks combined. Now, by saying this, if you use a storage unit, that's okay, all right? It's okay. But all I'm trying to say is that it's, you know, a lot of the times that we have a lot of stuff that we don't need, okay? So sometimes, whoever said they use one, I'm not talking about you. Sometimes, you know, we have things in excess and we just have a lot of stuff, okay? Try not to fill up your house with excess stuff that you don't need. And be willing. I'm not saying you don't sell things online. That's okay. But maybe you want to give it to somebody. Maybe you want to be generous with some of your extra stuff. Okay? So you don't want to be like the guy who just stores everything in his barn. And then he says, oh, I've got way more than I need. Now I'm in great shape. We want to be generous people. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. Okay. Let's keep going. Number 5, practice generosity with your money. Money. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. He loves people to be generous with your finances. You know, don't spend all your money on yourself. That's good advice. The Bible warns against doing that. Give freely, cheerfully, sometimes sacrificially. So it hurts a little sometimes, you know. Just be that kind of a person, you know. We're supposed to give our tithe to the storehouse first and then give to charities, that kind of a thing. The Bible teaches all of these things, but it's all about the heart. God cares more about what's in your heart than what's in your hand, okay? He cares about what's here. So, and that can be actually a lot of fun to see how God will use you to be generous as you go throughout your day. It's a cool thing. So, number 6, extend mercy and forgiveness. Being generous with mercy and forgiveness. The Bible says in Luke chapter 6, 37 and 38, do not judge. You will not be judged. Do not condemn. You will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So we can also be generous in the way that we treat and the way that we view other people. And Jesus taught us in Luke 6 that we can be more merciful to others and more forgiving. You know, I just want to say, don't hold on to grudges. I just want to say that if you hold on to a grudge with somebody else, somebody did something you didn't like, somebody hurt you, somebody, you know, I know there's all different kinds of things, and for some people, very, very terrible. I'm just going to say that if we hold on to grudges, the person that gets hurt is you. You're the one that gets hurt. You're the one that's going to suffer if you hold on to grudges. Let it go. Forgive easily. I love that. Okay, number 7. If I could get the worship team to come up, that'd be great. Number 7, last one. Practice generosity with intentional acts of kindness. Now, here's a quote from an unknown person. So this could be somebody in this room who said this. We don't know. It could have been me, but it wasn't. Always give without remembering. So think about that one. Always give without remembering. That's a good thing. And always receive without forgetting. I think that's good. And you may be familiar with random acts of kindness, which are cool. You know, I always think when I'm in the line, you know, at a coffee place, and then, you know, you have people who pay for your drink or whatever, but then the pressure's on you. You're like, well, that means I got to get the person that's next. Well, I don't know what they're going to get. Maybe it's a lot. I don't know. That's a lot of pressure. Anyway. Am I the only person that's ever thought that? Come on. Come on. Okay. So we need... I just cracked myself up. So when we give, there's random acts of kindness, but I'm not talking about random acts of kindness. I'm talking about having purpose behind your giving. I think, you know, that's a really, really good thing. And so as a Christian, generosity is not just an action, but a lifestyle. And God has blessed us with many things. He's blessed us with wealth, time, knowledge, talents, all kinds of things that we've talked about. And it's our responsibility to steward them well. For to whom much is given, much will be required. And I think that applies here. And, you know, I always say wealth is, you know, it just runs the gamut. You know, it's all relative. You know, somebody who owns, has millions and millions of dollars, we can look at them and go, oh, wow, they're so rich. But if you had millions and millions of dollars, you might think, well, I mean, there's always somebody richer than you, you know. And so maybe you just have thousands of dollars. And but there's always somebody that has more than you do. And so you might think, oh, well, that's not enough. Whatever the case, it's all relative. And the point is that we need to be generous no matter who we are. And, of course, we know the story of the widow's mite, the lady that Jesus ran across who gave just a few coins. And what was Jesus' reaction? He said, this woman gave more than everybody here. And that's the way it is. No matter what you have, it's having a generous spirit. So here we go. Proverbs 11:25, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Say it with me. Proverbs 11:25, here we go. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. And if you do these things, if you begin to live a life of generosity, and you can start today, okay? And you do them with the love of God, you just might become the richest man in town. All right. Let's all stand up. Have a little doodly-doo. Doodly-doo. Talking like my wife, she always says doodly-doo. I don't know what that means. It applies to everything. All right. Let's all bow our heads momentarily. Early on in my message, I had talked about how do you begin to be generous? And if you want to be generous, but you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, you've never encountered Christ, you have not had a relationship with Jesus Christ, because he's as alive, and if not more so, than every person in this room. And if that's you today, it's very simple. Very simple. You can ask him into your life. Just pray a simple prayer, but mean it. But mean it and believe that Christ exists. You believe in him and you want him to change your life. It's as simple as that. If there's anybody in this room, I would just like you to raise your hand with nobody looking around. Just raise your hand if that's you, okay? 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 And if you are online, you can do it right where you're sitting. Right where you're sitting. So I'm just going to pray a quick prayer, and you can just pray this with me. Dear Jesus, please repeat. Dear Jesus, I want to give you my life today. I've made a mess of things. and I need help. I give you my heart because that's all I got to give. Come live inside me today. I want to know you. In Jesus' name, amen.